The Lord, the God of heaven, will send his angel before you, and you will get a wife for my son from there. Words from Genesis 24, verse 7. For the next few weeks, we will focus on one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible, Genesis 24, on the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. Though the Bible is full of references to marriages, there really aren't very many good love stories in the Bible. Genesis 24, however, tells the simple and beautiful story of how Abraham's son Isaac and Rebekah, his wife-to-be, were brought together under the Lord's divine providence and were married. And I want to emphasize that this took place under the Lord's providence, which will become clear in the next few weeks as the story unfolds. In Swedenborg's book, Marital Love, traditionally known as Conjugal Love, there is a story in which an angel talks about how married couples come to be. And I'm going to read just a little bit of what the angel says. He says, "Provision is made for couples to be born who are well matched for each other. Under the Lord's continual guidance, they are brought up with a view to their marriage, though neither the boy nor the girl is aware of this. When in due course the young woman, as she is then, is of an age to be married, and the young man, as he is then, is ready for marriage, they meet somewhere as if by fate and see each other. Then by some instinct they at once recognize that they are well matched, and they think to themselves, he is the one for me. They think to themselves, as if by some inward prompting, the young man says, she is the one for me, and the young woman, he is the one for me. After allowing this to sink into their minds for a while, they resolve to speak to each other and they become engaged. We say as if by fate and by instinct, but we mean by this divine providence, because when people do not know about divine providence, it looks like fate." Now I hasten to add that this is an angel speaking, and angels see marriage as it unfolds in an ideal way. Here on earth, where things are much murkier and more confusing than they are in heaven, we may not always manage to meet and marry our partner in such a simple and beautiful way. Still, love at first sight, which is what the angel describes, is a reality for many married couples. It was the reality for Isaac and Rebekah, as we will see later in the story. And it is a reality that, according to our teachings, this does not come about by fate or instinct, as we might think when we are going through it or seeing it in another person, but rather, this takes place under the guiding hand of the Lord, who prepares us for the moment we will meet and marry our soul's partner. And he prepares us for that, whether that wonderful event happens while we are living on this earth, or whether it happens after we have passed on to the spiritual world, because we believe that all people who long for and want marriage will find their partner either in this world or in the next, and will be able to have a happy life in eternity with that partner. But let's be honest, our path toward happy marriage is often not an easy one, and it may not take place on the schedule that we hope for. Some people go through unhappy marriages, through divorces, and through other painful experiences with relationships before finding someone with whom they can live happily ever after, as the fairy tales say. Some people marry only late in life. And as I said earlier, some do not find their partner here on earth, but must wait out this lifetime and find their partner in the next life. We do not know what the Lord's providence has in store for us, and that can be hard to bear for those who do not see their heart's wishes fulfilled for many years. Still, whatever our fortunes of love may be, we can prepare ourselves for the marriage that the Lord has in mind for us. Although the emphasis in our culture and in our own minds, and even, we must be honest, in the story of Isaac and Rebekah, is on finding the right person. We're always worrying about finding the right person. Will I find the right person for myself? I would say that it is even more important, not so much that we find the right person, but that we be the right person, the kind of person who can be in a mutually loving and growing marriage. Because if we are not the right person ourselves to be in a marriage, even if we find the right person, we will never have a good and happy marriage with that person. and we'll look into this reality a little more fully over the next few weeks. I would today just like to prepare the way by looking briefly at the source of all of our marriages, and that source is the Lord, our God. The teachings of our church tell us that marriage is not merely a human affair. It has its source and origin in the nature of God. God is the one from whom all things, including marriage, come. It was left to Swedenborg to spell out the nature of this divine marriage, and he wrote a whole book which has an entire chapter about how marriage comes from the marriage that is in the Lord. And I highly recommend both the book Marital Love or Love and Marriage and that chapter about how our marriage comes from God. And yet, even though it was left to Swedenborg to spell that out, it's clearly implied in the Bible itself. Right in the very first chapter of Genesis, the first chapter of the Bible, when human beings are first created, we read this. And God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. If, as the Bible says, humans, both male and female, are created in the image of God, and they are created to become one flesh, as it says several times in the Bible, this means that the origin of both male and female, as well as the origin of marriage itself, must be in God, in whose image and likeness we are created. Returning to the theme of our sermon series on the inner life of the Lord Jesus, these passages must also mean that there was and is a marriage in the Lord Jesus himself. When we read the story of Isaac and Rebekah, we are not only reading a human love story, as beautiful as it is, because at its deepest and most heavenly level of meaning, we are reading the story of the marriage of love and wisdom, or of goodness and truth, in the Lord himself. This divine marriage, that marriage of love and wisdom in God, is the source of all human marriage. As we will see in the unfolding story of Isaac and Rebekah, spiritually speaking, finding a wife for Isaac involves an inner marriage between what we love and what we believe. Or in more concrete language, it is a marriage of our head and our heart. The spiritual marriage is all about getting our head and our heart together, what we love and what we believe, making those be one and work together. That is the spiritual marriage within us. As the Genesis story has shifted from Abraham to Isaac, we have followed the course of the Lord's shift in early childhood from simple, heartfelt promptings of divine love toward his life work. And his life work was saving all of us, was saving the whole human race. And we have seen the Lord's inner life shift from those early heartfelt promptings represented by Abraham toward a more mature, rational, and spiritual understanding of what he needed to do in order to accomplish that work of saving the human life, the human race. And that more mature, rational view is represented in the Bible story by Isaac. And as we will see, the story of Isaac and Rebekah is the story of how the Lord's developing rational mind found its true partner in a love for spiritual rationality and truth. This is the meaning of getting a wife for Isaac from among Abraham's own relatives. Abraham's family represents a spiritual view of life. As we look at the Bible story, we see the Israelites, who were the eventual family of Abraham, representing God's people. And the surrounding nations represent our more worldly views and thinking and motives. So the Canaanites, among whom Abraham was living, represent all the things that we or the Lord need to do to get along in this world and all our material desires. Now, as we have been discovering in our series on the Lord's inner life, Jesus himself always moved from the lower view to the higher view. He always moved toward a higher spiritual view of the world around him and of his life and mission in the world. Well, that's a lot of stuff that sounds fairly theoretical and abstract. So what practically does this mean for us as we prepare our hearts and minds for the true marriage that the Lord has prepared for us? And I'm speaking both to those who are unmarried and to those who are married, because marriage is not simply something that you do at one point and then have. Marriage is something that you build within and among yourselves. So what practically does it mean for our preparations for marriage, either inner or outer? Following in the Lord's footsteps, if we want to find true love and a happy and growing marriage relationship, we must also lift our hearts and minds above a focus on things of this world and toward a higher focus on the things of eternal life. If we focus on worldly things, if we focus on making a lot of money, on building up our status, on our own power, our reputation, if we focus on all the things that the world tells us that's important, we will never have a real marriage, even if we do find the right one. And the reason we won't have a marriage if we focus on those worldly things is that our heart only has room for a certain amount. And if it is focusing on ourselves and on our money, how can it focus on loving another person? We know the stories of many wealthy people who have lost their marriages and lost their children because they focused on making a lot of money or becoming powerful instead of loving their spouses and loving their children. When we focus on the things of this world, there is no room in our heart for a true marriage, and we will never be able to have one even if we find a good partner for ourselves. But if we focus our lives on opening our hearts to love to the Lord and loving our fellow human beings, and opening our minds to the Lord's guiding truth, what we do in our communion service, opening our minds, our hearts to God's love coming in, represented by the communion bread, and opening our minds to the Lord's guiding truth, represented by the wine in the Holy Supper, then we will build a true marriage of love and heart, of mind and heart, of love and wisdom within ourselves. And then we can not only find the right person in the Lord's providence, but we can be a person who can experience true love with our life's partner. Amen.